Right now, many emergency departments across the country are overwhelmed, and it's not because of COVID. Here's Dr. Juan Salazar, chief physician at the Connecticut Children's Medical Center.
Compared to COVID, I mean, RSV is just sort of a completely different magnitude.
RSV, it's a respiratory virus. And right now, there's a major outbreak in young kids, leading to large numbers of hospitalizations.
And this is affecting pediatric hospitals like nothing we saw with COVID.
What does it look like if you walk the halls of your hospital right now with all these sick children?
So we're very full right now, and on any given time, we have about 110, 115 kids that are in the emergency department between the waiting room, getting triage into a room, getting taken care of, and in the hallways. You know, we actually have gurneys in the hallways now with kids because it's that busy, you know, to provide the care. So we have three times as many kids as we normally would see in our emergency department. The magnitude of the rate of hospitalization for children is just absolutely astonishing.
Doctors have known about this virus for decades, but there's never been a vaccine for RSV until now. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knutson. It's Monday, November 14th. Coming up on the show, a new vaccine for an old virus.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
RSV primarily affects the airways. It's a very common virus. Most people have had it before the age of two, and it's usually pretty mild, like a cold. But for some, it can lead to severe lung infection. And in the past few weeks, that's what Dr. Salazar has been seeing in his children's hospital in Connecticut.
Yeah, there are very few things that cause more distress than seeing a one-month-old or a two-week-old or a three-month-old who can't catch their breath, right?
Parents have been posting videos of their kids suffering from RSV on TikTok.
I mean, they're breathing very fast, they're irritable, they're crying, they have a fever, they can't feed. And it you know, to a parent to see that, it's something that causes a lot of emotion for a good reason. So we provide them comfort, give them good advice, and let them know that for the most part, these kids are gonna do fine. It's just that we have to support them over a period of 2, 3, 4 days.
Our colleague Denise Rowland covers healthcare, and she says the COVID pandemic has changed some things about how viruses spread.
Since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, we've been managing to suppress quite a lot of respiratory viruses by the same means that we've been suppressing COVID. So lockdowns, mask wearing, social distancing, it was all designed to suppress COVID, but it had the side benefit of suppressing other common winter viruses too.
Denise says that RSV normally peaks in January, but this year that peak is happening early. There are some ways to medicate for RSV, but like most viruses, there's no real treatment. And if a child is so sick with RSV that they have to go to the hospital, there's no medication for the virus itself. Doctors can only treat the symptoms.
We don't have antiviral therapies for RSV. You know, in the case of COVID, we have antiviral therapies. In the case of influenza, we have Tamiflu, which is an antiviral. For RSV, there is no specific antiviral therapy. So what do? Basic things. The most important thing is we provide them supplemental oxygen. Very few, fortunately, then require mechanical ventilation and manage of the airway, which actually helps them a lot.
Since RSV was first identified in the 1950s, scientists have been trying to develop a vaccine for it. But their early efforts in the 1960s did not go well.
So the very first vaccine that was tried for RSV ended up causing more severe illness in young children. So if they were vaccinated before they'd ever encountered RSV, then the next time they were exposed to RSV, they would have a more severe disease than they would have done otherwise.
Wow, so the vaccine made RSV worse? That's like the total opposite of the point of a vaccine.
Yeah. Two kids died. You know, it was a really, I guess, very sobering and sort of troubling result for a trial. And that, I think, set RSV vaccine development on a very cautious road. They proceeded very, very cautiously from then on. And they just ran into a lot of difficulties. You know, there weren't many vaccines tried. They just weren't very effective.
One of the things that makes it so hard to develop an effective vaccine for RSV is something in the virus called the F protein. RSV attacks the body using that F protein. So for an RSV vaccine to be effective, it needs to copy that F protein so a patient's immune system is able to recognize it and defeat it. But the problem for scientists working on the vaccine is that the F protein actually changes shape.
The struggle they had was that they would, you know, build this protein in the lab, they would use it as a vaccine, but this protein, when it would shapeshift in the vials, it would shapeshift during manufacturing so that it was the wrong shape for vaccination.
Scientists needed to find a way to keep that F protein from changing shape in order to create a viable vaccine. But for decades, no one made much progress until 2013. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
This episode is brought to you by C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
In 2013, researchers at the National Institutes of Health in the U.S. made a big discovery.
They figured out how to kind of lock the protein into its pre-fusion form, which is the form that the vaccine developers wanted to target. And that's really the breakthrough that paved the way for all of these vaccines that we're seeing great data for now.
After this discovery, pharmaceutical companies decided to get into RSV vaccine development. The American drug manufacturer Pfizer and the British company GSK, which was formerly known as GlaxoSmithKline, both started working on one. Why would a company want to make an RSV vaccine? What's in it for them?
It's likely to be a huge market. Analysts think the whole market could come up to about $10 billion a year just because of the sheer, you know, number of people that would be eligible for vaccination for this disease. So, you know, there is substantial financial reward for those that succeed.
RSV is not only problematic for children, it's also bad for older adults, meaning a potential vaccine could be for everyone. But as Pfizer and GSK were getting close to their final clinical trials in adults, the pandemic almost derailed their plans.
The pandemic did threaten to disrupt the clinical trials of these vaccines. So the GSK vaccine, for example, you know, it was kind of ready to go into its big clinical trial, like the one on tens of thousands of people. And then the folks at GSK had a decision to make about when to start that trial, because for a vaccine trial to work, you need the disease to actually be circulating, because you need to show that folks on the placebo catch this virus and people on the vaccine don't.
Mm-hmm. People are out in the world having a chance to be exposed to it.
Exactly, yeah.
At the beginning of the pandemic, while so many people were isolating or masking, RSV wasn't spreading enough for GSK to test its vaccine. But the company knew it would come back. The question was just when.
They had to figure out whether they thought the virus was going to take off in the summer because of the lifting of COVID restrictions, or whether they should wait till the following winter to run their trial. They took a gamble. They thought, you know what, there's a good chance that it will circulate this summer because the restrictions have been lifted.
So in the spring of 2021, GSK started running its trial. And the gamble paid off, because just as they had suspected, RSV started spreading again. Pfizer started its trial in the fall of 2021, and the results came in.
Had they not gone ahead with the trial at that point, they conceivably might not actually have their data yet.
Both Pfizer and GSK announced their results recently. Pfizer said its vaccine was over 66% effective at fighting two or more RSV symptoms in adults. And GSK said its vaccine was 94% effective at that.
I think it was a big moment of progress for the development of RSV vaccines. You know, this is a... people have been waiting decades for a vaccine for RSV.
And does it matter which company develops a vaccine first?
The GSK and Pfizer vaccines are seemingly on a similar track. They'll probably get reviewed by vaccination committees this summer, ready for next winter. So, you know, I don't think one is going to beat the other to the market. The GSK CEO made an interesting remark in regards to the Pfizer contest, which is that when you're building a whole new market, it's kind of beneficial for there to be two of you. You're both trying to increase awareness of this disease. You're trying to build something from total scratch. So actually having two horses in the game could actually benefit both of them because there'll be two big companies making a huge marketing effort.
Now, both the GSK and Pfizer vaccines need to be reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration. Denise says we can expect the FDA to come back with its response next year. While the two vaccines from GSK and Pfizer are for adults, they still benefit kids. Because one, it means less of the virus will circulate in the population. And two, there's also plans for vaccinating pregnant women.
So with younger kids, the most advanced prospect is also from Pfizer, and that's a maternal vaccine. It's not vaccinating the baby themselves, but it's giving them protection by vaccinating the mother, and then those antibodies pass to the baby. Mothers who received the vaccine for RSV, their infants had an 81.8% lower risk of developing severe lower respiratory tract infection within 3 months of birth.
There's also an RSV vaccine for young children that's currently in clinical trials.
It feels a bit like vaccines are having a moment. You know, a number of companies have always made vaccines, but for a long time, vaccines were sort of the poor cousin of drugs.
Hmm.
For many companies, you know, they had these vaccines, like the infant vaccines, flu vaccines, that had become quite commoditized. And so you kind of churned them out every year. They were kind of a cash cow business, kind of trundles along, but there wasn't a ton of excitement or innovation. But now, you know, there has been quite a lot of news flow on real breakthroughs in vaccines, obviously the COVID vaccines. One vaccine executive at a drug company I interviewed lately said, you know, some of us have always thought vaccines were interesting and now it seems like everyone finally agrees with us. And I think that's kind of what it is. This stuff has been trundling along, but there's just been a lot of breakthroughs have kind of lined up and come to the fore all at once.
That's all for today, Monday, November 14th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Additional reporting in this episode by Brianna Abbott and Joseph De Avila. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.